From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to JTT Fringe. Now, Chelsea, I learned from a politician
that
you can seem more interesting than you actually are if you just use the initials of your first few words.
That's nice.
We are your podcast hosts, T and C, here today doing somewhat of a follow-up on an episode, but I didn't want to make it a two-parter, so it's not really, but it kind of is. Anyhow, I think the easiest way to explain it is a few episodes ago, we did the Government of Canada's UFO readiness response, basically of how we're dealing with UFO sightings.
Good episode.
And I mentioned in that episode, it was really long, really in-depth, and there was parts I had to cut that may be their own episode, and this one is its own episode. The report itself was the Management of Public Reporting of Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon in Canada. It came out in June 2025, written by the Office of the Chief Science Advisor of Canada under what's called the Sky Canada Project.
Again, I would love this job. This would be a nice job for me, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know if, Chelsea, I don't think you have the resume or the schooling background to be hired by the Office of the Chief Science Advisor of Canada.
Based on the title, I would say no. But
that wasn't meant to be an insult.
I can dream. It. At this point in my life, I can't say it's possible, but you never know. Stranger things can happen. Wolves became orcas.
Going back to the ocean and being stuck there.
Yeah, who would have thought that? So I have hopes.
Just an aside, I've always thought it's so weird that wolves went from like these brave, rugged, strong creatures of the forest to pugs. But I do think it is actually weirder that they became orcas and blue whales.
How come they just became everything on this fucking
planet?
They
really did.
Are we wolves?
We gotta look into this further. Anyhow, that's for a different time.
We came to that at the same time.
Yeah. It's like how everything is corn at the end of the day.
That was good stuff. Okay, continue.
There's a portion of this paper that specifically talks about reporting systems in other countries and the reporting system as it stands in Canada today, which I did somewhat take out. And that's what this is going to cover today. Reporting structure in Canada for seeing a UFO currently, as well as other countries throughout the world that were looked at and researched for this paper's purposes.
Interesting.
I thought it would give us a good oversight because I basically know about MUFON and a few other things that you might be reporting to. But outside of that, I think it's a pretty gray area for most people.
Outside MUFON, which is sketchy at best, given their history. But people report UFOs everywhere. Like they report them to podcasts. They report them, I don't know, probably to the newspaper. People don't know where necessarily to report a UFO.
Yeah, in fact, it's really like that there's one part in the paper where the, like, people kept calling us to report UFOs, despite the fact on our website it says do not call us about this.
See? That's just people being so people-y.
And let's face it, like, a good 20% of all UFO sightings just go in one ear and out the other of George Norrie. Yes.
Who gives literally no fucks.
He just makes the stupidest comment back.
Yeah.
Let's get into this because it is a bit longer, but I think it's still a reasonable length. And we'll just start. Oh, one important thing. The Office of the Chief Science Advisor shortens to OCSA. It's one of the like opening things that we need to know. So,
crap. I always hate remembering these.
I don't think you can remember this one that much.
Okay, good.
Okay. And the next one, I think you're going to know too when we get to it. I think you'll know.
We'll see.
The OCSA, which we just discussed, consulted with and gathered this information from federal government departments and agencies, as well as from several non-governmental organizations and individual interests in UAPs. Federal departments and agencies were asked specific questions aimed at understanding the role they played, if any, in UAP report management. That's the next acronym I thought you would know.
Oh, sorry. What was it?
UAP.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. But I forgot the other one, what it stands for again. Oh, science something. Canada's okay. Science Agency.
Sure. Sure. I don't think it matters too much. You make it what you will.
Okay, thank you.
Specifically, they were asked whether the Canadian public is contacting the organization for UAP sightings. If so, how frequently, what follow-up is done, and how is the information safeguarded? These consultations revealed that federal departments and agencies do receive UAP sightings information and reports from their stakeholders and the public. However, few of these organizations are currently investigating these sightings unless they pertain to specific aspects of their respective mandates, such as national security, transportation safety, or public safety, and those instances are fairly rare. Additionally, most departments do not compile the reports they receive, making it difficult to provide information on the number of reports or the type of responses given. So the first one they look at, Transport Canada, shortened to TC, and Nav Canada. Transport Canada is the federal department responsible for road, rail, marine, and air transportation. Its Civil Aviation Directorate collects reports on various incidents, including UAP sightings from pilots, air traffic controllers, and the public. These reports are shared publicly through the Civil Aviation Daily Occurrence Report System, CADORS.
What?
Oh,
yeah, we didn't know about that.
Yeah, all of the sightings. Like, yeah, not just UFOs, like anything. Which is accessible on Transport Canada's CADORS website. Specifically, CADORS collects and distributes basic information on incidents involving Canadian registered aircrafts at Canadian airports, in Canadian sovereign space, and international airspace for which Canada has accepted responsibility. Nav Canada is a private, not-for-profit corporation. It has been Canada's air navigation service provider since 1996. It oversees air traffic activity through a sophisticated network of area control centers, air traffic control ATC towers, flight service stations, maintenance centers, flight information centers, and navigation aids across the country. In the case of UAP sightings, pilots typically report their sightings to the nearest ATC tower, flight service station, or other air traffic unit. These units file an aviation occurrence report, AOR, with Nav Canada, which subsequently gets sent to Transport Canada's CADORS team for assessment and processing. UAP sighting reports from the public can be reported to Transport Canada through the Online Aviation Incidents Report application. Reports filed in this way may also be published through CADORS, provided they meet the criteria for inclusion. Analysts at Transport Canada use these UAP reports to create a CADORS report based on the details of the occurrence. These are then assigned as events in CADORS under three categories depending on the information provided: weather balloon, meteor, rocket, UFO, and intelligence sighting. That's all one category, just so we're on the same page. Laser interference or other operational incident. They really throw you off with that first one being like six. Weather balloon, meteor, rocket, UFO, and intelligence sighting.
I wonder under which one the like rocket man that they spotted at LAX would fall under.
That would be the first one. Weather balloon, meteor, rocket, UFO, and intelligence sighting. I would think that's okay. an intelligence sighting.
Yeah. Super impressed right now with how forthcoming they are with the information of how exactly the process works.
Examination of CADORS reports allows for follow-up on high-risk events while looking for trends and emerging risks through aggregated analyses by Transport Canada. Further follow-up may be undertaken by various organizations, including Transport Canada, Nav Canada, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada, and the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD. Nav Canada provides about 80% of the aviation occurrence information in each CADORS record. Other sources of information used to create or supplement a CADORS record include the information received from the Transportation Safety Board, TSB, and the RCMP, and aircraft operators and other agencies. Nav Canada is also responsible for the collection, evaluation, and dissemination of special messages called NOTAM. NOTAMs are short-term notices filed by Nav Canada to alert aircraft pilots of potential hazards along a flight route or at locations that could affect a flight, such as presence of wildlife, volcanic ash warnings, satellites, rocket launches, solar storms, etc. In January 2024, CTV News reported on Transport Canada's CADORS online database. They identified only 17 events reported by pilots in 2023 that could be considered UAPs, spanning all types of occurrences and sightings. As such, UAP sightings make up a very small portion, about 0.08% of all incidences reported by pilots. They are so rare in CADORS that Transport Canada is not incentivized to dedicate time and effort to explaining them. In fact, when such incidents do not raise serious safety concerns, Canadian authorities do not even investigate further.
Touché.
Next up, Canadian Coast Guard, CCG. This is a special operation agency within Fisheries and Oceans Canada. And I should say that one is very in-depth. Not all of them are that long. This paragraph, the Coast Guard is a paragraph. Okay. CCG is a special operations agency within Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Its mission is to ensure the safety of mariners in Canadian waters, protect Canada's marine environment, and support the safe and efficient movement of maritime trade. The CCG rarely receives reports of UIPs, although it has procedures on how to treat such reports. As part of its annual notice to mariners, procedures on what are termed vital intelligence sightings, any waterborne objects which appears to be hostile, suspicious, or unidentified should be reported and handled as a MARINT report. Merrant messages are transmitted to the nearest most convenient Canadian or U.S. Coast Guard station. From 2010 to 2022, only two Merrant reports were filed, both to the CCG's Western region, strangely enough. But that's where that ends.
Okay.
Next up, Department of National Defense, D&D. The Sky Canada project focuses primarily on the civilian aspects of UAP sightings in Canada, excluding military sightings and processes. Nonetheless, meetings were held with representatives of the Department of National Defense, North American Aerospace, they defined NORAD like four times now, and they just still write it out and then say NORAD. sorry, just an angry aside. The Canadian Armed Forces and Defence Research and Development Canada, DRDC, to discuss the goals of Sky Canada project and receive any information they wanted to share. DRDC, the scientific research arm of D&D, has informed the OCSA that it has no formal program on UAPs and no capacity or mandate to collect, receive, or analyze citizen reports. The Royal Canadian Air Force, RCAF, does not typically investigate sightings of unexplained phenomena outside the context of investigating potential threats or distress. The RCAF collaborates with U.S. Federal Aviation Administration and Transport Canada to enforce safety and security regulations. Media reported that the RCAF represented the Canadian Armed Forces at a May 2023 Five Eyes briefing on UAPs that I would love to know more about because we have a whole episode on Five Eyes.
Yeah.
A formal meeting was hosted by the United States at the Pentagon, where a presentation on UAPs was made by the U.S. All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO. While the details of the meeting remain classified, it was characterized as boosting cooperation on reporting and analyzing unexplained events. The OCSA was not able to access firsthand information about this meeting, which makes a lot of sense. Next up, the National Research Council of Canada. As mentioned in our prior episode, from 67 to 95, the NRC was the main federal government organization responsible for receiving UAP sightings reports in Canada. Within NRC, they are collated by the Herzberg Institute of Astrophysics and kept under the responsibility of Dr. Peter Millman in his non-meteoric sighting case reports, a term referring to cases unrelated to meteors. Thanks for explaining that. The files gathered by the NRC were transferred to the Library and Archives Canada, LAC, in 1995, where they are accessible to the public. The NRC continues to receive occasional requests for information on archived UAP-related documents. According to their records, they processed about 40 inquiries related to UAPs over the last decade. These included sightings, questions, media requests. These inquiries were referred to other government departments, such as Department of Transportation and LAC, as well as local astronomy clubs, such as Centers of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. Next up, Library and Archives Canada, LAC, which again, they are terrible at defining things, so they continue to define them later on. The LAC's collection of government records on UAPs includes files from 1947 to 1995, primarily received from four federal organizations: D&D, Department of Transport, National Research Council of Canada, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, all of which they've defined earlier, and they refuse to use their acronyms, except in that one sentence that Chelsea could not stop laughing at. Next up, RCMP. Most municipalities and provinces in Canada do not have their own police services. They rely on the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the RCMP, which again, this is like the fifth time they've said it. They write it out and then they put in brackets RCMP. At that point, just move on. It's even in the exact title for this section. Anyhow, the RCMP serves approximately 73% of Canada's landmass and holds a federal investigative mandate across the entire country. Consequently, the RCMP receives reports of UAPs from the public throughout Canada. However, the RCMP generally does not investigate sightings as its operational focus is on public safety and criminal investigations. Currently, the RCMP does not have a formal policy for the collection or dissemination of UAP reports. As a result, There is no classification system specific to UAPs. Such reports are typically categorized as non-offense, brackets non-criminal, incidents under the Aeronautics Act, other activities. This classification also encompasses a variety of other vessel sightings with airspaces. When members of the public contact the RCMP, the nature of the call is assessed and classified before an investigation is undertaken. However, there is no specific guidance for RCMP call takers or members regarding UAP reports. The calls can be categorized as suspicious vehicle, for example, and lost in a large number of non-UAP reports. It was therefore impossible for the RCMP to provide statistics about UAP reports.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. Historically, the RCMP has conducted some investigations into unidentified flying objects, and many of these records have been declassified and are publicly available through the LAC. During consultations with the OCSA, the RCMP acknowledged the growing public interest and proliferation of misinformation and disinformation on the subject. They noted the potential value of a dedicated office responsible for providing factual information and serving as a centralized body toward which UAP reports could be referred. This would allow the RCMP to stay focused on criminal investigations and threats to public safety. Additionally, the RCMP coordinates with provincial and municipal police departments as needed. Primary mission of these local and provincial police services is to ensure public safety, and they typically approach UAP-related calls from this perspective. The RCMP consultation with these organizations revealed that they lack standardized systems for collecting and organizing UAP reports. Like the RCMP, these local and provincial police departments recognize the potential benefits of a centralized body for which local UAP sightings could be directed. That makes a lot of sense that the police aren't going to be really caring about it, but it's also like, I think the most likely place for somebody to call if they saw one.
That was my exact train of thought.
I don't know how to contact the Department of Transport or the Department of Defense.
Exactly. I don't know if that's the first place I'd go to because I'm not a huge fan of the RCMP. But
well, also, you're not in an RCMP jurisdiction, I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think I am. But at the same time, anyhow, that was my train of thought. It makes sense they're not keeping track of it because they're the police. However, like aviation, yeah, I could see it, but that's probably not going to be like it. Someone every day being like, I have to report this to CADORS. Yeah. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, whatever. It's an acronym. Pronounce it however you want.
It's all coniferous to me.
Next up, Canadian Space Agency, the CSA. The mission of the CSA is to promote the peaceful use and development of space, to advance the knowledge of space through science, and to ensure that space science and technology provide social and economic benefits for Canadians. See, right there, you need to get the UFOs with these guys because then they can pay us, and that's an economic benefit to Canadians. The CSA is not currently involved in any UAP issues, nor does it collect UAP sighting reports. If members of the public contact the CSA about UAPs, either to obtain information or to report a sighting, they would be informed that this type of service is not available. The CSA's purview pertains to matters concerning space, not activities within Earth's atmosphere, where most UAPs take place. That is a twist I wasn't expecting.
No, same. However, another logical option.
I will say that this is also taking a twist because I did not expect this next group. Environment and Climate Change Canada.
Okay.
Because the Meteorological Services of Canada fall under the MSC, which is part of the Environment and Climate Change Canada. Provides weather and environmental forecasting services and information to Canadians.
Not logical at all. Do you think it would come up on the radar for you when you're like, oh, I just saw a UFO. Where do I report this? And you're thinking,
in my like, local weatherman. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Sobel.
See, I think he was an anchor, wasn't he?
No, I think he's the weatherman.
Okay. This
mostly
is like
known
20
for
years
Saturday
ago.
Morning cartoons. Yeah.
So. 40 years ago almost now. The MSC gets many inquiries related to meteorological features, weather, water quantity, ice, air quality, and climate, as well as the instruments and data it manages. Some of these inquiries concern lines or clouds that frequently form behind aircrafts. Oh, during flight, they definitely get asked so much about chemtrails, apparently.
I could see, but yeah. It's crossing the line into UFOs, and thus I...
Yeah, those are still IFOs, the airplanes putting the chemtrails out.
Yeah, they're still identified.
Now, commonly referred to as condensation trails or contrails. These contrails are composed primarily of water vapors that condense, creating visible streaks in the sky. This topic frequently becomes a subject of speculation and is often associated with conspiracy theories that typically involve allegations of secret government programs, such as geoengineering or chemical dispersal, and occasionally linked the trail to UAPs. I find it really interesting they decided to take time out of this busy report to acknowledge chemtrails. Like one of the few times they talk about another conspiracy.
They probably had to like get each sector's response to what they're also saying. Like, give us a summary of what you do and what you get as far as UFOs and reporting as they're putting it together. And they're like, can you just throw in so people will leave us alone about chemtrails?
Well, I almost wonder if that is the point where they started to take that direction where they're like, hey, you have to clip this in the bud, or the conspiracy theorists take it and they go a very weird direction.
I could see it. Might as well put it in the UFO report.
They do end up talking about that in the UFO report quite extensively, which I quite liked. And I'm wondering if that's where it took that. No, the nipping conspiracy theories early and addressing
news
early. And I'm wondering if this is where it took that direction.
It very well could have.
While MSC responds to all queries, they do not catalog, collect, analyze, or curate the numerous requests they receive. Standard responses may be used for common questions. ECCC also operates a weather application that provides the public with scientific explanation for weather phenomena. MSC stated that their resources are fully committed to the weather forecasting enterprise with no capacity to take on additional responsibilities like analyzing boards. Oh man, they are strapped right at the edge of their financial allowance. At the individual level, several journalists and commentators currently cover UAP issues in Canada. For example, Daniel Otis is a Canadian journalist recognized for his reporting over the last few years on UAPs and related topics. He has explored various aspects of UAPs, including government and military investigations, as well as public perceptions. His articles often examine the implications of sightings and the growing interest from both the public and authority in understanding these phenomena. Christian Page is another respected journalist in this field, known for his research and writing on UAPs and the paranormal. He has contributed to discussions regarding the implications of UAP sightings, including their potential impact on science, government policy, and public perception. Page frequently investigates the intersection of technology, defense, and the unexplained phenomena observed in the skies. He has also advocated for transparency and further research into UAPs, emphasizing the need for a systematic approach to understanding these occurrences. Together, Otis and Page and others serve as key figures in the public conversation on UAPs, each using their platforms to push for greater transparency, accountability, and understanding in their evolving fields. I just found that really interesting that they decided to include a few journalists.
I'd be interested to take a look at them, because I bet you anything they're not like Bill Moore, who worked for MUFON.
Bill Moore yet.
It's true.
They have not had their 1989 MUFON symposium.
They just haven't had enough time to mature.
That or MUFON symposiums just aren't what they used to be.
It's true. I don't think they are. Those really were the glory days.
That is their section on the Canadian government's ability to handle a UFO report. What do you think?
It really took a turn at the end there where you don't report them. So I'm kind of interested to see where this leads us to.
I think it is fairly clear in the reading. Nobody actually wants to do this. The only one who seems to actually do it is the Department of Transport, because they're required to.
Yeah, for safety reasons, which makes sense.
Outside of that, nobody seems to want it. Yeah.
But they're not the logical place to be doing it. Like space, they're not dealing with anything on Earth, so why would they want to?
Yeah, exactly.
Meteorological and climate change, like why the fuck would they deal with it? Like it doesn't make sense for them to be dealing with it. I don't think it's just a matter of do you want to, because if I worked at any of these places, I would be like, yeah, I think we should do that. And then there'd be a higher up being like, don't be ridiculous. Yeah. We look at climate change.
No, you need to do your real job. You can't look at the UFOs.
Exactly. And I'd be like, well, I'm pretty sure I could just do this. We get enough UFO reports and they'd
maybe
be like,
I don't
no,
know.
You're
we don't
definitely
keep track.
We're definitely paying you to do a different job. That's just how I feel like the conversation would go if I worked there. I mean, it makes sense in the end. I think it's hilarious that the government took time to put this all together to look at every single place that somebody might report a UFO to.
Can you imagine how awkward the people at these administrations must have felt when they like got called up by the Chief Science Advisor's Office in Canada? And they're like, hey, we need to know your reporting structure for UFOs and UAPs.
You gotta
having to look into it, and they're like, fuck, we got nothing. We've got nothing.
I mean, and that's
and we
probably,
don't want it either.
I know, exactly. You know, you gotta think there might be more because, you know, there are pretty stupid people out there, and you might think
they just called like, up like the prime minister's office.
The government gotta know. They I have to report this to the government, and it's either something like the prime minister or it's something like housing or something like that. It's like any area of government.
I saw this homeless alien. He needs a home.
It might just be, you know, just any government number they can find, and they call and they're like, hello, yes, housing, I would like to report a UFO. Hello, yes? Do you have a complaint about your job? No. I just want to report a UFO. Can you tell me who I could speak to?
Now, to be fair, though, I think specifically eliminating those ones eliminates more of the, say, crazy people. UFO reporters.
That's true, because they can't even logically put it together.
You need to at least come to a logical location for us to take it seriously.
And which these I find are the reasonable. Logical. Okay, so we have figured it out. Those are all the logical places that you would report it, perhaps. And not even logical because most of those places don't take it. Okay, we've come to this point.
So that's Canada. And now Canada has decided to grace us with a nice introduction to many countries' UFO reporting structures. And they start off right off the bat into how the US handles it, which I was surprised that it was not MUFON. In fact, Chelsea, this is extensive, surprisingly.
Oh, God. I'm nervous for this one.
Over the past
the US makes
years,
me nervous now.
Yeah. To be fair, again, most of this report was written pre-Trump. And that guy who has two initials for his name.
Yeah, that guy.
He's so cool. I mean, your personality's got to be great if you're using two initials. Anyhow, over the past several years, the U.S. government has ramped up its efforts to gather and analyze data related to UAPs. Increased government interest and commitment to the scientific study of UAPs culminated in the creation in 2022 of All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, ARRO, in the Pentagon. The objective of ARRO is to investigate government reports of UAPs, improve data collection, standardize reporting requirements, and mitigate the potential threat to safety and security posed by UAPs. Its mission is to, quote, minimize technical and intelligence surprise by synchronizing scientific intelligence and operational detection, identification, attribution, and mitigation of identified anomalous phenomena in the vicinity of national security areas, end quote. In February 2024, ARRO released Volume 1 of 2 of a study that reviews all U.S. government investigative efforts and programs on UAPs from 45 to the present. And this kind of flew under the radar for me. This seems like a lot bigger than I thought it.
Yeah, guess so. I mean, I'm not looking at like all of this stuff, though, when it comes to UFOs. I feel like this is completely out of the range of where I pay attention to.
Which is 25, 40 years ago. Yes.
Yes.
It was a beautiful time back then. On June 1, 2024, ARRO released its second report on 757 UAP reports from May 1st, 2023 to June 1, 2024. As of the publishing date, 174 cases were resolved and found to be objects such as balloons, birds, unmanned aerial systems, satellites, and aircrafts. Of the remaining unresolved cases, ARRO continues to collect and analyze the information by working with military and technical partners. ARRO underscores that, to date, they have discovered no evidence of extraterrestrial beings, activity, or technology. In parallel, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, undertook an independent study to evaluate how it can contribute to ongoing government effort. The report, released in September of 2023, focused on how best to collect future UAP data to advance their scientific study. It also defines a multifaceted approach to the scientific study of UAPs, acknowledging the need for collaboration across different sectors and disciplines. Similar to the ARRO report, the independent study team's review of unclassified government documents found no evidence of extraterrestrial activity. Following the release of the report, NASA announced the creation of the position of Director of Unidentified Phenomena Research to further study and coordinate research efforts. I did not know that was a position.
I feel like I'm directly qualified for this position, probably. What was it again? I'm going to apply right now.
Director of Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Research.
I'm applying right now. I'm just looking for the job posting.
Okay, I think
Oh, no. Mark McKinnery. He was appointed in September 2023. What a cool job. Can you imagine dinner parties? Fuck, that guy's cool.
And apparently this was all brought on by Biden. So the incursion of four high-altitude balloons in early 2023 prompted President Biden to ask the U.S. intelligence community to take a closer look at the UAP issue. He directed an interagency team to study the broader policy implications for detection, analysis, and disposition of unidentified aerial phenomena that pose either safety or security risk. The president also announced his staff would engage with their relevant foreign counterparts in order to share information and try to gain their perspectives as well.
Do you think that he still holds it, or do you think he was axed?
Biden?
No. Mark McInerney.
Just from the how to pronounce the last name, I'm going to say he's still there because nobody wants that, like, call him into their office and
nobody wants to say his name. Okay, fair enough.
Lastly, the Safe Airspace for Americans Act was introduced in January of 2024. The bill proposes that Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, develop procedures for reporting, collecting, storing, investigating, and analyzing incidents. The legislation also seeks to protect witnesses who report sightings of UAPs from adverse consequences such as medical disqualification or reprisals from employers or the government based solely on their reporting of UAP. That's the end of this portion, the U.S. portion. That last part is a big deal because we've actually seen in a few cases that we've looked at where people, first off, don't go public with their case because they're worried about their job. And then it's with Rendlesham Forest. There's at least one serviceman who can't see his record, correct? Like his medical record.
Right. So he wasn't covered for his medical issues that came up in conjunction with it because they blocked out the record. So he couldn't prove that he, what was it that he incurred, this happened to him while he was on duty?
I had no idea. In my mind, the Republicans have just taken the UFO. Like it's their thing. And the Democrats have just ignored it, but apparently Biden was actually a really good UFO president.
That's good.
I did not know that.
Because he made NASA do that one.
Yeah. Good for him.
I'm happy with it.
Anyhow, next up is Mexico. It is not as extensive. Most reports of UAP sightings in Mexico come through media outlets, independent researchers, and social media platforms, which play a significant role in documenting and spreading information about such events. In September of 2023, the Mexican Congress held hearings on UAPs, including a presentation on mummified bodies of extraterrestrials. Mm. This evidence was later debunked by Mexican scientists. Spoiler alert for when we get to that episode. You were aware of that going on, right, Chelsea? They were looking at that Nazca line body?
Vaguely. I didn't follow it closely.
No, and we'll have to do that episode at some point.
Yeah. But, well, it's just ruined now.
Yeah. Don't worry, nobody listens past the 20-minute mark. I'm sure. Next up, Chile. The CIFA, Section for the Study of Anomalous Aerial Phenomena, which is not surprisingly what the acronym should say, but I'm not saying the Spanish version.
Well, that's too bad.
Sección de Estudios de Fenómenos Aéreos Anómalos.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Perfect. Didn't even have to roll an R.
I know. Your Spanish is too advanced.
I speak the pure form of Spanish. It's closer to German.
You do.
It serves as the official body in Chile responsible for collecting, analyzing, scientifically studying UAPs. It operates within the General Directorate of Civil Aeronautics, DGAC, of the Chilean Air Force. The primary mission of CIFA is to gather information on UAPs reported by airline crews or the general public. This information is analyzed to assess any potential risk to the safety of air operations and national security. One notable aspect of CIFA's operation is its commitment to transparency. The organization makes its findings and information regarding UAPs available to the public, aiming to foster openness and understanding of these phenomena. CIFA publishes monthly reports detailing the cases it has investigated and closed, allowing interested individuals to stay informed about its activity. That's kind of surprising that they're one of like the more advanced ones, but also thinking about it, like Chile separated from most its neighbors by like two rugged to pass over mountains.
Right, I forgot about that.
So if they're going to be invaded, it's probably by air and or sea.
But you bring up a super good point.
It's super far away for everybody.
Yeah, but the other way, that's a very good point. Yeah, that also leads me to that next point, is I wonder what country is the most advanced in their studies in UAPs. It's probably China.
China's in here. We will get to them. But I think this next one's going to be up there in the running, and that is France.
if I was to guess, it probably would have been one of my top 10 guesses.
France's government-funded organization charged with managing UAP reports is housed within its space agency, CNES, the Centre National d'Études Spatiales, or National Center for Space Studies.
That's probably why...
That's where Jacques Vallée was, yeah.
That's not what I was going to say, but that's probably why Canada was like, we don't look at anything that's not space, because France, that's their thing, space.
The CNES office, called GAPAN, which I'm not even going to attempt, like, they don't even have the French version, I think I delete attempt it. that stands for the Unidentified Aerospace Phenomena Research and Information Group, has been studying UAPs since 1977.
Nice.
Its mission is to collect, investigate, and archive UAP reports and make its findings available to the public. By anonymizing sightings, GAPAN allows further study of observed phenomena by external scientific teams. The principles guiding GAPAN include low operational costs, public service, respect for witnesses, and a commitment to transparency, neutrality, and objective investigation.
Cool.
GAPAN has a full team of 3 full-time employees. Sorry, just, I like the full team of 3 full-time employees to manage the reporting process. Members of the public can file a UAP sighting report through a form that is available online. Reports are investigated through the efforts of over 20 trained volunteers throughout France. GAPAN has a large number of government partners, including the military, civil aviation, meteorological office, alternative energies and atomic energies commission, and the French national police, among others.
Okay.
And external contacts from complementary fields, including astronomy, aeronautics, meteorology, psychology, imaging, drone technology, and electromagnetism, as many more.
Cool.
GAPAN's steering committee is chaired by an established aerospace expert and includes representatives of the country's civil and military authority. The steering committee's mission is to analyze the performance of GAPAN and make recommendations. The French organization, Misunderstandings of the Sky, also receives UAP sightings from GAPAN and the public. This organization helps educate the public about the mischaracterization of UAPs. While it is difficult to establish a direct causal relationship between these investigative efforts and changes in public perspective, there are indications that in France, UAP-related conspiracies are decreasing and are less prevalent compared with other countries. Which,
cool.
Pairing that with knowing the outcomes of this report, you can see what they're trying to emulate.
What do you think their program is to, like, inform the public and meet their goal? Do you think it's, like, tour around to elementary schools and do presentations, commercials?
I would be really curious, actually.
Just town crier it? UFOs! There's no longer a stigma! Read all about it! No, that's not the town crier. But how would they achieve that? I wonder.
Yeah, Chelsea, you did the 1920s paperboy routine.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did do that. They're very close. It's like coniferous and coniferous. Yeah, I'm just curious though, like how would they achieve that? And I'm only thinking like commercials, maybe like ads on Prime, maybe.
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, before you watch The Boys, you need to know that this UFO that was spotted in your area has been debunked. It also, it blows me away that there are like 3 paid people in all of France and they have a robust UAP system that is wanted to be emulated.
Well, they probably offload a lot, right? It sounds like it. Yeah. Okay, what's the next one?
Germany. Yeah, the purest of languages.
Yes, for over 50 years. This is the country, though.
Germany's contact point for UAP reporting has been the GEP, Society for Research into the UFO Phenomena, a Ludenscheid-based nonprofit citizen science organization. The GEP receives public reports of UAP sightings and makes its findings public. Since 1980, it has published its findings in its bi-monthly journal, Fjor UFO Forschung, Journal of UFO Research. According to GEP's annual report, they have received an average of 300 per year from 2022 to 2024. Over 90% of reports received have been explained as conventional cases, causes with the remainder being unexplained due to sufficient data. Next up, Italy. Italy has 2 well-known private nonprofit UAP, the CUN, National Ufological Center, and CISU, the Italian Center for Ufological Studies. They were established in 65 and 85, respectively. Both are involved in collecting and cataloging testimonies of UAP sightings and Republic reporting. The two organizations are also provided access to the Italian Ministry of Defense's unclassified UAP investigations, which are carried out by the Italian Air Force, which clearly shows that there was another group they should have talked to, the Ministry of Defense's UAP investigations reporting.
Yeah.
Next up, UK. The United Kingdom Ministry of Defense was in charge from 1950 to 2009. From the outset, the Ministry of Defense set up a working group under its chief science advisor to study the UFO phenomenon. In June 1951, the working group concluded that UFO sightings could be explained by astronomical or meteorological phenomena, misidentification of aircraft, balloons, birds, optical illusions, and psychological delusions and deliberate hoaxes. It recommended that, quote, no further investigation of reported mysterious aerial phenomena be undertaken unless and until some material evidence becomes available, end quote. Nonetheless, the Ministry of Defense kept a UFO hotline and email address, as well as a small team of investigators. It published annual reports from 97 to 2009, listing dates, times, locations, and brief descriptions of all UFO sightings. The Ministry of Defense closed its program in 2009. Since then, UAP sightings in the UK can be reported to local authorities or associations like the British UFO Research Association, BUFORA. Which is a great acronym, BUFORA.
We heard it on the last one, right?
Next up, surprisingly enough, is the European Union, which might surprise you, has nothing as an entity.
Okay, I was going to say, what?
The European Commission considers that the area of UAPs is under the jurisdiction of the member states, which allows them to address these phenomena according to their national security. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Next up, Japan. According to media sources, Japan's defense minister instructed the Japanese defense forces in 2020 to record and photograph any object they encountered or that enters Japanese airspace and to take steps for the necessary analysis of those sightings. This directive underscores the importance placed on monitoring and documenting UAPs by the Japanese government, as well as the recognition of the need for thorough analysis and investigation, including information provided by the public. The Japanese military announced in February 2023 a new policy to consider unidentified drones as legitimate targets to be shot down. It does make a lot of sense that they want to take UAPs seriously, because they do worry about China a lot. And anything coming in the sky to their island could be coming from China.
Yeah.
And finally, we're going to finish off with China here. The rise of UAP research in China coincided with the country's reform period in the late 1970s. As part of the first wave of reforms, public interest in UAPs began to emerge. In September of 1979, students in Wuhan University established the China UFO Enthusiast Liaison Office, which later evolved into the China UFO Research Association. The association expanded, opening branches in other cities. The Journal of UFO Research, founded in 1981 in Lanzhou by the Gansu People's Publishing House, became the most widely read UAP research magazine in Asia. Following the success of the China UFO Research Association, several localized societies were established, including the Beijing UFO Society, which was founded in 1984. During the 1990s, interest in UAPs and extraterrestrial life surged as state media began covering the topic and publishing restrictions were relaxed. However, the China UFO Research Association disbanded recently. China has a dedicated task force within the People's Liberation Army to investigate unidentified aerial phenomena. This task force employs a multi-tiered reporting system to manage UAP sightings, collecting data from military radar stations, Air Force pilots, police stations, weather stations, and observatories affiliated with the Chinese Academy of Science. Reports undergo preliminary analysis of regional military commands before being centralized in a national database. To handle the vast amount of data and identify patterns, the PLA, which I think is, People Liberation Army, utilizes artificial intelligence to assess the nature and potential threat level of these phenomena. This approach enables the PLA to rapidly determine whether observed objects are foreign aircrafts, natural occurrences, or potentially otherworldly origins. And apparently they're the only ones using the AI.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they take it seriously.
I don't know if AI is taking it seriously.
Really? Because they had a whole section in this report about using AI.
Fair enough.
But Chelsea, that's more than I knew before about many countries' reporting systems, including our own.
That was quite a lot of information to take in. Is that the end of the episode?
That's the end of my script. I will say it that way.
Based on this, Taylor, well, not necessarily based on this. Where is the best place to report a UFO? Cadders?
In Canada?
Yeah.
I think it's MUFON. This was just covering the government side of it.
Do you think it's still MUFON?
If you want a government response, I do think it is probably Cadors. I think.
You don't think government response is probably not what you're looking for. So it is probably MUFON or your local chapter of MUFON, whatever that may be. I think they stretch fairly worldwide.
Yeah, they're in a lot of places.
They are.
Like everywhere, but they are in a lot of places.
Yeah, I know we do have them in Canada as well. And even with the Bill Moore thing, like, and the, what was the military people free?
Doty?
No. The birds? The Florida one.
Oh, what was his name? I can't remember guy. Off the top of my head.
Even
yeah.
with that one Florida guy, and I know you have so many Florida guys going on down there, you won't know who it is because they're all fucking insane.
Gulf Breeze guy. I can't remember his name off the top of
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, Gulf Breeze. That was the one. Okay, so we're thinking MUFON is the best place. We'll link up, I think, Cadors in this if you want to make a report, and MUFON. Just in case, because Cadors as well, you can take a look through the reports. So we should probably link those up in the episode. Super informative. I can't believe that our government put that out. I can't believe how many governments actually... I wonder if people actually realize that governments are, like, looking into these things and tracking them.
Yeah, I mean, people like to put a lot of nefariousness behind it. Or think about it as wasted money. But it is something it's something
but
that
then
should be studied.
There's a whole other... I agree. I 100% agree. I think there's a whole other sector with... I don't know. I'm going to start a poll, a personal poll, with everyone I come into contact with them, whether they think it's a waste of money to study UFOs within the government, even if it's just three people.
The people that listen to our show are going to a ton of dinner parties, and I think they should be using this as their small talk.
Oh yeah,
after they talk.
You so should be. Yeah, I'm going to start asking people because I think there's a fair amount of people that would think that, you know, even three people for the whole country would be fair. But the other thing,
France does it robustly and they employ three people.
Exactly, exactly. And it's France. The other thing that I wanted to ask was, oh no, it's slipping away. I forgot.
Well, hey, that's okay, because I'm sure we're at a pretty good time at this point.
Yeah.
I have been T, here with C. We are JTT Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.